Okay, it's good to be back. Today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Chaf Tes. We left off on Daf Chaf Chesam at Beis at the bottom. I don't know if we left off there, but that's where we're going to pick up from. We're at the two dots at the bottom of the page on Daf Chaf Chesam at Beis, about 7-8 lines before the end of the page. So Rabbi Huda Omer B'miskavin Chayiv. This is going back on the Mishnah that appeared on the bottom of Chaf Chesam at Aleph, where the Mishnah had said that if someone's jug breaks in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and the water spills all over the place and someone comes and slips on the water or hurts himself on the shards of the jug that itself broke, so he's Chayiv. But Rabbi Huda says, no, you're not always Chayiv. Only if you have Kavana, you're Chayiv. But if you're Eino Miskavin, you're Pater. If you don't have Kavana, you're Pater. So Kavana for what? If you have kavana for what, you're chayiv. So says the Gemara, hechidami miskavin. What does it mean if you have kavana, you're chayiv? What does Rabbi Yehuda mean by that? So possibility number one, Amar Rabba b'miskavin lahorida lamata miksefo. That even if a person doesn't have any real, he doesn't have any vicious kavana, he's not trying to hurt anybody or to do anything wrong, he's simply trying to take the jug down from his shoulder. And while he's doing that, the thing breaks, still he's going to be chayiv. That's enough kavana to be chayiv. So what's called Eino Miskavin? Eino Miskavin is where you're not trying to do anything, where something just happens, where it just breaks by itself, spontaneously combusts. But if the person is actually trying to remove the jug from his shoulder, and it goes and it falls and it breaks, so then that's going to be called Kavana, and he's going to be Chayiv. Amle Abaye, so Abaye says, wait a second, Mechal de Mechayiv Rameir Afil Nifshara. That implies that Rameir would say, Rameir, who's the Tanakama, would say that you're going to be Chayiv, even if Nifshara, even if the Kad just somehow melts by itself, and you didn't touch it, you didn't move it, it just fell apart in your hands. That Rameir would still say you're going to be Chayiv, even in that case. So Amle In, Mechayiv Rameir Afilu Asno Biado, he says that's exactly correct. Rameir would hold you Chayiv, even if all you're left holding is the handle of the Kad. If that's all that's left in your hand, Ein Achinami, you're still going to be Chayiv. So frak the Gemara, Amai, Anus Hu, Vanus Rachmana Patre, Dixivul Narlos Asadavar. Why would Reb Meir say you're going to be Chayiv in that case? Isn't it an Anus? Isn't it something that's totally out of your control? And whenever something is completely out of your control, you could never be Chayiv. After all, the Torah tells us, Narlos Asadavar, that if a girl, Rachmana Litzlan, gets raped, so we say that she's not going to be responsible for having a Bia Asura with this man. We don't do anything to the girl because it was completely beyond her control. She was absolutely an anus over here as well. If it's beyond his control, it's a total anus, the thing falls apart in his hand. How could we say that Rav Meir would hold you're going to be chayiv in that case? V'chitema, maybe you'll suggest, no, hani mililinyan katala. When do we say that onus is a good excuse and that you're not going to be chayiv? That's when it comes to something that you're chayiv misa for. Avalinyan nizakin, chayiv. But maybe when we're talking about issues of damage, even if the issue was a complete onus, you're still going to be chayiv. But we know that's not so. Vatanya, we have a brisa that tells us otherwise. The brisa tells us, Nishbura kado velosilko, if the jug broke and you did not remove it, so it's out there in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Nafal gemalo velohe mido, or your camel fell down and you didn't stand it back up, so it's lying there in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim where people can trip on it and get hurt by it. Rab Meir mechayiv bezekan. Rab Meir says you're going to be chayiv in the damage caused by it. V'chachamim omrim patr medin olam chayiv medin yishmayim. And the chachamim say you're going to be patr in bezin shalmata, but you're going to be chayiv in bezin shalmaila for the damage caused by these items. However, we still didn't get to the point of why we're quoting this price. Again, our main point in quoting this price is we're going to try to show that when it comes to an anus, when it comes to a situation of anus, that it is going to be a good excuse even for a case of nezikin, that one's not going to be chayiv for nezikin when it comes to anus. So, modem chacham Rameir, the chacham agreed to Rabbi Meir, they admit to Rabbi Meir, ba'avno sakino maso she nichan brosh gago, v'naflu bruach mitzuya v'iziko shu chayiv. That if you put an oven, you put a knife, or you put some type of bundle on the rosh gag, on the top of a roof, and it falls down with a ruach mitzuya, and it does damage, so you're going to be chayiv. Since it fell b'ruach mitzuya and it did damage, so that's considered that the person was posheya, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. Umod Rameir, the Rabbanan, Rameir agrees to the Rabbanan in the opposite case. B'malakan kanin alagag al menas l'nagvan, that if you put jugs on top of the roof in order to dry them out, v'naflu beruach she'ena mitzuya, and they fall down with an uncommon wind, with a ruach she'ena mitzuya, with a ruach that you don't necessarily expect to come, v'iziko, and they do damage, shu pater, then everyone is going to agree that you're pater. And that's the key, with that last case, where we say that everyone agrees that if you put it in a place where it's not supposed to do damage, and the ruach she'ena mitzuya comes along, and the ruach she'ena mitzuya blows it off and makes it do damage, in that case you're going to be pater. Why are you pater? So Rashi says two words, da'anusu, because you're an anus. And whenever you're an anus, you're completely pater. So we see that the Ptur of Onus works not only for Ketela, but it also works for Nezikin as well. So again, the question is, if we're going to say that what Rabbi Yehuda means in our Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Chesam and Aleph, that when you're miskavin, you're chayiv. What he means is that even if you're just miskavin to remove the jug from your shoulder, you're going to be chayiv. That implies that a mayor who holds that you're chayiv even when you're not miskavin would hold that if you're walking down the street holding a jug in your hand, and all of a sudden the jug just falls apart, and you're left holding the handle of it, and you did absolutely nothing, that a mayor would hold your chayiv even in that case, even though it's a complete anus. Frek the Gemara, but that can't be. When something is a complete anus, you're in fact putter. You're not going to be chayiv when it's complete anus. So that can't be pshat in Rabbi Yehuda, because that can't be pshat in Rabbi Meir. It can't be the pshat that Rabbi Meir would hold, that even when something is a complete anus, you're still going to be chayiv. So before we get into what is pshat in Rabbi Yehuda, to a second alternative, to a second possibility of what is pshat in Rabbi Yehuda, just a couple of words about this idea of Anus Rachmana Patre. So again, the Gemara at the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Beis, 3-4 lines before the end of the page, quoted this idea of Anus Rachmana Patre and derived it from Ulanaru Lo Sasadavar, from the fact that if a girl is raped, we don't punish her in any way for a bia asura. So we see that clearly that when something is beyond a person's control, they're not at all held responsible for their actions that occur that are beyond their control. So first of all, Tosos Maseches Avodah Zarah says, wait a second, is the heter over there really, is the reason we don't punish her because it's out of her control because of anus? Is that necessarily a viable source to learn anus and kalata rakula from? Tosin Avodah Zarah Daf and Dalit says, maybe the reason we don't punish her is because of a different svara that the Gemara uses elsewhere in Sanhedrin and Ksubis, and that is that karka olam, that maybe since the woman's role in Bia can be a passive role, she could just lie there, so maybe that's why she doesn't get punished, because she didn't do anything. But maybe, when you do something, even when it's ba'anus, maybe then you'd be chayiv. How do we know that the limud is, how can we learn it from lenar lo sasa davar? Maybe the only reason lenar lo sasa davar is because she was karka olam. But in a typical case of onus, where you're active, maybe we wouldn't let someone off the hook with onus. So Tosa says that the idea of karka olam would not be enough he says that she'ena nifteres min ha-misa b'kach would not be enough to exempt her from misa for something that that she had done. Meaning if she was nifelas b'ratzon, the idea of karka olam would not tell us that she's not going to be chayiv misa. Where do we use karka olam? We use karka olam to determine that a particular maisa avera is b'shei vialtas and is not b'kum vasei. Meaning when you're given the option of doing something or not doing something, and the halacha would be that you should be b'shei vialtas, that you should be passive and just let it happen rather than be active. So we say we use the svara that karka olam is called passive, is not called active. That's what karka olam does. But if someone does a maisa iser and they are karka olam in the maisa iser, even though they're not actively doing it, that would not be enough to exempt someone from misa. Another issue in relation to the issue of ones, the Chasam Sofer says, how do we know that we're learning? Why do we learn from lenar lo sasa davar? Pasuk also says vihilo nitpisa, that she wasn't grabbed. She wasn't. Meaning, when is she going to be chayiv if she wasn't grabbed? If she wasn't forced? But it sounds like if she was forced, she's going to be pater. Why do I need two pesukim? Why do I need two phrases in the pasuk? Lenar lo sasa davar and vihilo nitpisa. So the Chasam Sofer answers based on the famous sheet of the Ma'arik. The Ma'arik writes that a woman is mezana, tachas bailov, a woman is mezana, a married woman is mezana, she's usher to her husband because of the rebellion against her husband, not because of the rebellion against the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, for instance, let's say you have a case where it's mutter for her to be nevelas, where it's mutter for her to give herself over for Bia. Says Marik, even though klape God she's okay, she didn't do anything wrong, because it's mutter for her, klape the Ribbono Shel Olam, nevertheless, for instance, like what, where is it ever mutter? Like Esther. Esther had to save all of Klal Yisrael, and for Atzalas Klal Yisrael, it was mutter for her to be nevelas to Achashverosh. So even though it was mutter for Klape the Ribbono Shel Olam, still, kasher avadati avadati. Right? Still, Esther says, guess what? I'm aser to you, Mordechai, because even though it's not a rebellion against God, it's a rebellion against the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a rebellion against her husband. And as long as she's rebelling against her husband, that's enough to make her to make her an ones, to make her usher to her husband. So based on that, if she was ne'enas ba'ones tzadi, let's say a guy came and was ma'anis both her and her husband and says, guess what, I'm going to kill both of you unless the woman sleeps with me. So even though the husband tells her, go, do it, save our lives, sleep with him, still that onus is not going to make her mutter to him, mutteris to her husband, because she went ahead and she did the action willingly. Only when the onus was something that was an onus mamish, where she was literally grabbed, is she going to become muteris to him. So therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, you can't learn from this onus to all other onsin in the Torah, because this has the unique characteristic in that the prohibition is generated by a rebellion against the husband, as opposed to a rebellion against the Ribbono Shel Olam. This idea of ones, obviously we're not going to have much time to get into it, but this idea of ones, of being pater, the major chakira is whether when someone does something about ones, whether you say that it's no Maisa Isra at all, or it's a Maisa Isra, you just don't get punished for the Maisa Isra. That's what Rav Elchanan discusses. Do we say that you didn't do any Avera at all, or no, you did an Avera, it's just that there's no ones for the Maisa Isra, the Mainaf Kamina, who cares whether it's not a Maisa Isra? So Rav Yosef Engel writes in Beis HaOtzer, for instance, would you apply mitzvah ba'avera? If you say it's a Maisa Isra, it's just that there's no onesh for the Maisa Isra, so then you would say that any mitzvah that comes about because of it is a mitzvah ba'avera. Whereas if it's no Maisa Isra at all, then you wouldn't say mitzvah ba'avera. Linyan Maisa Shabbos, if such an onesh creates a malacha on Shabbos, you do malacha on Shabbos or something, can you get hana'ah from that malacha on Shabbos? So again, this is that's the major chakira. We're not really gonna have time to get into now. And just one last ha'ara, and that is that the Rambam writes in two places in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, that if a person does something ba'ones, even when it's not permissible to do it. For instance, there are three cases where it's Yahari Val Yavar. It could be an onus. They have a gun to your head, but you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to bow down to the Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to kill somebody. You're not allowed to violate Gilui Arayos, even though you're doing the Maisa Ba'onus. Says the Rambam, we still say Onus Rachmana Patrei. Just because you're not allowed to do it doesn't mean Onus Rachmana Patrei doesn't apply. If they hold a gun to your head and they say, I want you to bow down to that Avodah Zarah, the halacha is you're not allowed to bow down. You have to take the bullet. What if you do bow down? What if you go and you bow down to the Avodah Zarah? Says the Rambam, you bow down to the Avodah Zarah, you're still not going to get punished for it. You're not going to be subject to an onesh, because Onus Rachmana Patrei. When the Maisa is done ba'ones, you're pater. Now it's interesting, the Rambam writes, if a person is a cholosh yesh bo sakana, person is very ill, and the only way for him to get a refuah is by making use of Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam says, in that case, the person is Nisrape Ba'ashera, in that case, he is going to get punished. Even though L'chora, it sounds like it's the same case. It sounds like it's an onus over there as well. If a person is deathly ill, and he makes use of the Asherah in order to get a refuah, so it sounds like that should be what ain't onus gadol mizeh. But obviously the Rambam distinguishes, and this is what the Achronim point out, Rav Elchanan points out and others, that the Rambam clearly distinguishes between a maisa that's done ba'ones and a situation that's ones that leads me to make a choice to do a maisa iser. Meaning when there's a gun to my head and the guy is telling me, I want you to bow down to the Avodah Zarah, that's a maisa that's done ba'ones. He's forcing me to do that iser. That iser is being forced upon me. When I'm sick, and I choose to pursue an avenue of refuah that is avodah zara, so that's not a maisa done by ones. No one's forcing me to do the avodah zara. I just have a general situation of ones in my life where my life is threatened, but the choice to go and use the avodah zara, that maisa is done totally with my own choice. And for that I'm going to be chayiv, says the Rambam. Okay, let's go weiter. So again, so the Gemara has to figure out what in the world did Rabbi Yehuda mean in the Mishnah when Rabbi Yehuda says that if you're miskaven, you're going to be chayiv, but if you're not miskaven, you're not going to be chayiv in a case where you drop a jug of water and people come and slip on the water in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So we're six lines down on Chavtes Amar Aleph, Elam Rabaye Bitarti Pligi. It's a double machlokas in our Mishnah. Pligi b'shas nefila u'pligi la'acha nefila. Machlokas in our Mishnah both applies to damage done while you're falling down and the jug is falling, and after it's already fallen and it's sitting there in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Now the definition of while it's falling means that you haven't yet had time to clean it up. That it was once it's fallen, you didn't yet have a chance to get rid of it, and someone already hurt themselves. So pligi b'shas nefila b'nitkal posheya. What's the machlokas if the jug does damage while it falls down, meaning it falls and immediately someone comes and slips on it? What's the svara to say you would be chayiv? What's the svara to say you would not be chayiv? Machlokas is, if I trip because I'm clumsy, is that called that I'm negligent? Or is that just an accident and it's not called negligence? Marsav v'nitkal posheyahu, umarsav v'nitkal lav posheyahu. If you hold that it's called being negligent to trip, so then even if it does damage immediately as I'm falling down, I'm going to be chayiv because I'm chayiv for my own negligence. But if you hold that it's not called pshia to fall down, so then it's not called pshia, I'm going to be putter in that case. So what does miskaven mean? If that's the way we read the Mishnah, if that's what they're arguing about, and Rabbi Yehuda says you're only chayiv if you're miskaven, what does he mean by miskaven? He means you're only chayiv if you actually have kavana to break it, to break the kli. But if you're just walking down the street and you're not having kavana for anything and you trip and it breaks, you're putter, because that's not called posheya. Whereas the Tanakama, Reb Meir would hold, it is called posheya, and you're going to be chayiv. That's one machlokas. But also, pligi lacha nefila, they argue about if it does damage after it's fallen. B'mafkir nezakav. Marsavar mafkir nezakav chayiv, marsavar putter. When what the machlokas is about in that case is if you have something that's out there in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that could damage somebody, and you just mafkir it, and you just leave it there, and decide that you don't want to own it anymore. So the machlokas is something that you don't own at all anymore, that you are totally mafkir. Are you going to be chayiv for that, for the damage that it does? So the Tanakama would say that mafkir nezak of chayiv, that if someone trips and falls on something that you were mafkir out there in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you're going to be chayiv. And Rabbi would say, no, you're pater. Umimai, how do I know that they're arguing in both cases, both when the damage is done immediately and when the damage is done after the fact, after it's been lying down there in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim for a while? Midiktani tarti. Because if you look at the Mishnah said two cases. It said, huchlak echad b'mayim, oh, shalaka b'charasis. It gave two cases. It says someone slips on the water, or someone damages themselves in the broken shards of the kli that had broken. So hainu hach, isn't that the same exact case? Elalav hachikamer. So it must be telling me no, that it's not the same case. Huchlak echad b'mayim b'shas nefila. Huchlak echad b'mayim is talking about where at the time that I fall and I broke the jug and water came pouring out, that's when someone else came along and slipped and hurt themselves. So that's a case at the shas nefila. O shalaka b'charasis la'achar nefila. Or someone hurts themselves on the shards that remain there, that's not talking about the shas nefila, that's talking about la'achar nefila. That's talking about after I've already fallen, someone goes and hurts themselves on the shards. So you see that in the Mishnah, the machlokas between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is in two cases, both at the time of the nefila and after the nefila. So says the Gemara, oh, if that's what the Mishnah is talking about, then the brisa that we just quoted on the bottom of Chav Chesam and Beis, the brisa of Nishvara Kadov Lo Silko Nafal Gamalov Lo Amido, the brisa where it says that if your jug breaks and you don't remove it, or your camel falls and you don't stand it back up, where we also have a machlokas whether you're chayiv or not, must also be talking about both cases. Umidimasnisin betarti, Braisinami betarti. If the Mishnah is talking about both at the Shas Nefila and after the Shas Nefila, the Braisa must also be talking about both at the Shas Nefila and after the Shas Nefila. So says Gemara, but can the Braisa really be read to be talking about both cases?
I understand very well the kad, the jug. I understand you can have it both relating to a case at the time of the nefila and after the nefila, meaning when I break the jug, it could do damage as I'm falling or right after I fell before I had a chance to clean it up. And it could also do damage after it's fallen and I had a chance to clean it up and I just left it out there and I was mafkir it. So I understand very well the case of the kad could relate to either way, shas nefila or achar nefila. El gamalo, but the case of the gamal, the case of the camel, bishlam la'achar nefila mishkachasla b'mafkir nevlaso. I understand very well that it could be that we can come up with a case where achar nefila, I'm just it falls, it trips, it dies, and I leave it out there and I'm just mafkir the nevela of the camel. But how do you ever have a case of the camel where I'm called poshea at the time that the camel trips and falls? I mean, think about it for a second. Why is it when I do damage at the shas nefila? What's the svara to have a havamina for anyone to say that when I do damage as I'm falling, that I'm going to be chayiv for damage I did when I fell? Because the whole svara is that you shouldn't fall. That be more careful. Be careful how you walk. Don't be so negligent in how you walk. Don't be so clumsy. You're poshea. You're a nitkal is poshea. But if my camel falls, my camel trips over itself, I have to make sure my camel is paying attention. What do you mean? The camel is a camel. It's an animal. So it's a little clumsy. That's called poshea when my camel is clumsy? That doesn't make any sense. How could that be called poshea? So you see, in the case of the camel, it's not shaykh to talk about a guy being chayiv at the shas nefila. It only makes sense to talk about someone being chayiv la'achar nefila. So answers the Gemara, no, I'm Rav Acha going to Avra b'maya derech sarasa denara. It is possible to be poshea at the shas nefila. You brought it in an area where it could easily slip, where it's overflowed with water, and it's likely that the camel's going to slip. So obviously, say the camel tripping, we don't blame the camel for it, right? It's not the camel's negligence, but it's the owner's negligence for putting the camel in a spot where the camel is likely to fall. So if the camel does damage, bishas nefila, so that's called poshea. That could be a case where it could be called poshea, even though the camel is the one who tripped. So fracting mar, wait a second, hechidami. Well, if there was another way that you could have brought the animal, so then obviously you're negligent. No one should say you're putter in that case. Then you're obviously negligent by bringing the animal through a path where it's more likely to fall. And if there's no other way to bring the animal, well, then you're an anus. It's not your fault. You have no choice. You had to bring the animal here, so no one should say you're chayiv. No, the case is the camel didn't stomp trip. You're walking this camel, you trip, and then the camel trips over you. That's the case where the camel fell down, and it's your negligence. Because if you say nitkal poshea, you say that someone who trips on his own is called a poshea, so good, so you were a poshea because you tripped on your own. And then the camel went and tripped on top of you. So just in general, the trying to relate the brisa to both the case of shas nefila and the achar nefila, is the Gemara's kasha is a little bit striking. The Gemara's kasha is a little bit strange. That how could it be that I understand the kad could be both b'shas nefila and achar nefila, but how could the case of the gamal apply b'shas nefila? So the obvious kasha is, in the way we translated the Mishnah, we said the Mishnah is talking about the Mishnah mentioned two cases, and that's how we know it's a machlokas both b'shas nefila and achar nefila, because one of the cases is talking about b'shas nefila, and the other case is talking about li'achar nefila. We did not demand that in the Mishnah's cases that each case be talking about both b'shas nefila and li'achar nefila. By the Mishnah, we were perfectly happy to say that when it came to the Mishnah, that huchlak echad b'mayim was referring to only shas nefila, lucha b'charasis was talking about only li'achar nefila. So why do we have a higher standard for the Brisa? When it comes to the Brisa, we say, oh, it has to be that both cases in the Brisa have to be talking about both Bishas Nefila and Li'achar Nefila. That demand doesn't seem to make much sense. Let it be just like the Mishnah. Just say that the Machlokas is Bishas Nefila on the Kad and La'achar Nefila on the Gamal. You can't come up with the case of the Gamal that's Bishas Nefila. Fine! The case of the Gamal is the case of Li'achar Nefila. The case of the Kad is the case of Shas Nefila. What's the problem? So it says Tosfos, Tosfos Badbez Kash and Dibra Maskul Ella. So it says Tosfos Yeshlam Rechadim Yishum Destam Charasis Mafgalahu Vestam Nevelu Lom Mafgalah Charasis. That a Stam case of Charasis is a case where you are Mafgirit. And it's time case of Nevela, you're not mafkarit. Meaning, it's hard to say that the case of the Gamal is talking about only La'achar Nefila, and you were just mafkir the Nevela of the Gamal in the Rosh Hasharavim, and that's the case that we have a machlokas on in the Braisa, because that's a very unusual case. It's very unusual that if your camel falls and dies in Rosh Hasharavim, you're just going to say, forget it. You can make nice boots from it. There are a lot of things you can do with a dead camel. It's worth something. It's not normal to just be mafkir your dead camel in the Rosh Hasharavim. So we'd much rather say that the case of the camel can apply even b'shas nefila, even without you being mafkirit out in the middle of the Rosh Hasharavim. Anyway, so we said that's the... going back to our explanation of the Mishnah, we said the Mishnah is arguing about two cases. Both a case where shas nefila, and where after it had fallen down, you were then mafkir and left it out there. And there's a machlokas whether you're chayiv for things that you were mafkir. So says the Gemara, mafkir nizak of mai miskavinika. How do you read Rabbi Yehuda's statement if we're talking about a case of mafkir nizak? Rabbi Yehuda says, you're only chayiv if you had kavana. What do you mean? What kavana for what? You're only chayiv if you had kavana for what? Rabbi Yehuda's trying to tell us, apparently, that when you slipped and dropped your barrel in the Rosh Hasharavim, and then you're mafkirit, you're pater. So what does he mean? If you have kavana, you're chayiv. So says Gemara, Am Rav Yosef b'miskavin lezakus b'chareseha. Kavana means you have kavana to take back ownership of it. That's what it means. You're chayiv if you have kavana. V'chenam Ravashi b'miskavin lezakus b'chareseha. If you meaning you're not mafkirit. If you weren't mafkirit, you'd be chayiv. But if you are mafkirit, then you're going to be pater. So that is Abaye's explanation of our Mishnah. Rav Lozor b'shas nefila machlokas avalachar nefila mai divrei kol pater. Rav Lozor says, no, the whole machlokas is only at the shas nefila, only at the time that you're falling, someone hurts themselves, that's where you have machlokas. But if after you had fallen and you just left it there, someone fell, so what, everyone would hold your pater? That can't be. Vayikra meir de mechayiv, because we have our meir explicitly in the braisa that says even la'achar nefila you're chayiv. If you leave it there and you just let it stay there and someone hurts themselves, you're chayiv. So elamai. So what's Rabbi Lozor trying to say? Divrei kol chayiv that everyone would hold la'achar nefila you're going to be chayiv. Vayikra rabbanan de patri. But we have the rabbanan beferish in the braisa that say that no, you're putter when you just leave it there in the Rosh Hasharavim afterwards. Elamai b'shas nefila. What did Rabbi Lozor mean when he said that the machlokas is b'shas nefila? He means af b'shas nefila. He means the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is going to be both b'shas nefila and li'achar nefila. And he's really telling me the exact same thing Abaye said, that there's a double machlokas in our Mishnah. Machlokas is both at the time you're falling when someone hurts themselves, and if you leave it out there and someone hurts themselves. Rabbi Yochanan amar li'achar nefila machlokas av l'shas nefila mai divrei kol pater. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the whole machlokas in the Mishnah is li'achar nefila, the opposite of what Rabbi Lazar originally said. But b'shas nefila, so what's he implying about shas nefila? That if it does damage at the shas nefila, it's everyone would agree you're pater. But wait a second, Rabbi Yochanan later on is going to say that don't say that our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir about a Mishnah later on, that who says Nitkal is Poshea, so that implies that Rav Meir holds Nitkal is Poshea, that Nitkal Poshea means that my falling down and doing damage as I'm falling is called an act of negligence, and I'm going to be chayiv for that. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say that at the Shas Nefila everyone would hold your putter when Rabbi Yochanan says Beferish later on that according to Rabbi Meir, Nitkal Poshea, that at the Shas Nefila I'm going to be chayiv for what happens because I was negligent? Elamai divrei kol chayiv. So it must be that what Rabbi Yochanan is trying to say is that the shas nefila everyone would agree you're chayiv, but that doesn't work either. Sounds like Rabbi Yochanan says later on that the rabbanan hold that nitkal is not posheya. That when I trip and I do damage as I'm tripping, that's not called negligent. That's called ones, and I'm pater for it. So don't tell me that Rabbi Yochanan holds everyone agrees that at the shas nefila I'm chayiv, because we see that the rabbanan hold that at the shas nefila you're pater. So this is what Rabbi Yochanan must be saying. The mafkir nizak of the hacha who depatri rabbanan da'anasu. Aval mafkir nizak of the alma mechayvi. If I fall and trip and drop something as a result of that, and it breaks all over the place, and then I'm mafkir, I just say, forget it, I'll just leave it out there, I don't need it anymore, and then someone hurts themselves on it, that's where you could say that you're going to, that's where the Rabbanan would say I'm pater. Because when I fell, it wasn't my fault. Right? When I fell, I didn't do anything negligent, I just fell. So that's when you're going to say that even though I subsequently knowingly left something that could hurt people out in the Rishus HaRabim, I'm still going to be pater. But when I'm generally mafkir my nizikin, when I go and I take something that could damage people and I put it in the Rishus HaRabim and I say, I'm mafkir it, where it wasn't as a result of an accident that it got to the Rishus HaRabim, it was as a result of my putting it there, in that case, I'm going to be chayiv. So in our Mishnah, it's true. There's a machlokas both b'shas nefila and li'achar nefila. But if the case of la'achar nefila did not start by me falling first, it started by me just putting something in the Rishus HaRabim, being mafkir it, then even the Rabbanan would say, you're chayiv. Itmar, mafkir nezakav, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, chalam rechayiv, chalam repater. In general, if I'm mafkir my nezikin, I put it out to something dangerous out in the Rishus HaRabim, and I'm mafkir it, so you have machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, whether I'm chayiv or pater, and we don't know who says what. So leim amandu mechayiv krameir, amandu pater krabbanan. So maybe the one who says chayiv holds like krameir, and the one that says pater holds like the Rabbanan, because this is a classic case of la'achar nefila. La'achar nefila means I was mafkir something, a mazik, out in the Rishus HaRabim. Says Gemara, no, it's not at all the machlokas. The fact that Rabbi Meir would say that you're chayiv, no one could argue about, that if you're going to be chayiv in the case of Rabbi Meir, where I fell originally and then I left it out there, then certainly when I put it out there on purpose, I'm going to be chayiv. That there's no machlokas about. Ki pligi alib drabanan, but there is a machlokas within the sheet of the Rabbanan. Man de pater krabanan, the one that holds pater, we don't know who holds what, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yochanan, the one that holds that I'm pater when I'm mafkir my nezikin is going to hold directly like the Rabbanan. Uman de machayiv, and even the one who says that I'm chayiv when I put something dangerous out in the Rishus HaRabim and I'm mafkir it, Amalach will tell you, another army afil Rabbanan. I might even agree with Rabbanan. Ad kan lo pater Rabbanan el b'mafkir nezak of the hacha mishum da anasu. Why did the Rabbanan say I'm pater in the case of our Mishnah? Because when I first fell, that was an onus. So when I subsequently left whatever I dropped out of the Rishus HaRabim, at least it started by onus. So that's why I'm going to be pater. Avol mafkir nezak of the alma mechayvi. But when I just go and I'm mafkir something out of the Rishus HaRabim that could hurt people, so that I'm going to be chayiv for. So says Gemara, who holds what? We have this machlokas Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan. And if I take something that could hurt people, I put it out in the Rishus HaRabim and I'm mafkir it, machlokas whether I'm chayiv for damage done by it. Who holds what? So tistayim Rabbi Lazar hu damar chayiv. It sounds, it seems, that Rabbi Lazar is the one that holds am chayiv. Damar Rabbi Lazar mishum Rabbi Shmuel shnei dvarim in b'rishus shel adam v'asan akas of kilu hein b'rishus. So there are two things that are not in a person's possession, but the Torah counts it as if it's in your possession to make you chayiv for it. Ve'elu hein, what are these two items? Bar b'rishus harabim v'chamitz mishay shal salamala. Bar b'rishus harabim, that even though it's not mine, the Torah counts it as if it's mine. So what do you see? That even though I'm mafkir it, it doesn't belong to me, I'm totally mafkir it, still I'm going to be chayiv for it. So you see clearly that Rabbi Lazar holds that you're chayiv when you're mafkir, you're nezikin. And chametz mishay shal salamala is the other one, that even though it's no longer mine after 6 hours, the Torah still mechayiv me, and Rashi says mechayiv me for what? For bal yirah bal yimatzeh, for owning chametz after 6 hours. So testayim, so you see clearly that Rabbi Lazar is the one that holds that you're chayiv when you're mafkir, you're nezikin. Frakta gemara, miyom Rabbi Lazar achi, does Rabbi Lazar really say that? Ram Rabbi Lazar ibcha, Rabbi Lazar said the exact opposite. The tanan, ha'ofi, chesagol b'rshusav muzuk ben acher, chayiv ben isko. If I go and I take excrement that's out there, manure that's out there in the Rishus HaRabim, and I move it somewhere else, and then someone gets hurt where I moved it to, I'm going to be chayiv in the damage. That's only if when I picked it up, I tried to be kona it. But if when I picked it up, I wasn't trying to be kona it, then I'm going to be pater. Alma mafkir nizakov pater. You see, as long as I don't take ownership of it, I'm pater. So even though I put something damaging out in the Rishus HaRabim, if I was mafkir what I put out in the Rishus HaRabim, I'm going to be pater. So you see, Rabbi Lazar holds that you're pater and mafkir nezakov, not that you're chayiv. So I'm Rav Adbarava. No, the case is shechziru lemakoma. I put it back in its original place. That's why I'm going to be pater, not because mafkir nezakov in general is pater. I'm Ravina Mashal de Rav Adbarava lemad avdomi. You know what that's like? That's like a case of motzi bar megula. You found a bar that was open v'chisau, and then you covered it up v'chazvi gilahu, and then you opened it up again. So you left it the same way you found it. So of course you're going to be pater in that case. Amrleim Rav Zutra Brei de Rav Mari Ravina, braids of Mari, says Ravina, is that really the equivalent? Is that really the parallel case? Me, dummy, can you compare the two? Hasam lo stylikulu maisa rishon. When I cover up a bar, the bar is still there when I cover it up. The original maisa of whoever dug that bar, I never got rid of. It's still there. So hacha stylikulu maisa rishon. When I take the manure and I move it from one place to another, I've gotten rid of the first maisa by moving it from one place to another. Hello, dummy Ella. You know what it's really comparable to? Lemotzi bar magula v'timma v'chazer v'chafra. If I find an open bar, I close it up and then I redig it. I totally close it up. I fill it in and then I redig it. This stalkulu maisa rishon v'kaim lo bereshuso, where the first guy's actions have now been totally erased and the new bar is my bar. And in that case, I'm going to be chayiv. Salam Ravashi. Ravashi says, no, the case is kishahavka lepachos mishlosha. The case where you're going to be you're going to be pater is if you pick up the excrement less than three tefachim off the ground. So in that case, if you're having kavana to acquire it, you're going to be chayiv. Otherwise, you're pater. Umay duched rablazer look megon shavka lepachos megim of time duchin iskavim zakus by iskavim zakus below. Why would he say that? It's dafka talking about where you lift it up less than three, and therefore, if you have kavana to acquire it, you're chayiv. Otherwise, you're not. Look malam megimel. Why doesn't he instead say that you picked it up more than three tefachim, and even though you didn't have intention to be zocha in it, you're still going to be chayiv? So Rava Masnis and Kashisei. No, he was bothered by the lashon of the Mishnah itself, of the Brisa itself. My ear yahafach. Why does it say a lashon of hafach? Listening yigbia. It should say he lifts it up. So you see that anytime you use the word hafach, it means less than three tefachim. So bottom line, the way the Gemara stands now is that Rabbi Lazar is the one that says that if you're mafkir nezakav, you're going to be chayiv, and we'll question that tomorrow.